Turn your Bibles, if you would. Turn me down first. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not going to give you anything new tonight. I'm not going to give you anything you've never heard. I think everyone in here is familiar with what hell is. This is the Wednesday night crowd. I'd like to believe everyone in here is saved. But I want to get you thinking with me tonight. Is hell real to you? So many times we think of hell as, we know it's a place where lost people go. We know it's a place that burns. We know it's a place of eternal torment. But I want you to think with me tonight, is hell real to you? Mark chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray now that you would, Lord, remove me. Lord, I pray that you'll just speak through me, Lord. You put this message on my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll help me preach it with clarity, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. I could sit here and speak to their ears all night, but unless you speak to their hearts, Lord, it doesn't do any good. Lord, I pray now that you would just use this message, Lord, to help my life, Lord, but help everyone's life in here, Lord. I pray now that you would just use this time, Lord, and use me in a special way. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we all know what hell is, but I want to give you some thoughts to think about. And I've got a few minutes, so I'm going to go through these points. I'm going to get to my message. But point number one, we know hell is eternal separation from God and everything of God. In 2 Thessalonians, turn your Bibles there. I'm going to be doing a little bit of flipping through the Bible tonight, but that's... Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. Let's start in verse 7, and it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." They'll be forever separated from Christ. They'll be ever separated from the things of God. We think of the fruits of the Spirit. You think love, joy, and peace. Everything that we will know forever and ever in heaven, all we'll know in heaven is love. All we'll know in heaven is peace and joy. In hell, you'll not know any of that. You will not know any love. You'll know hate. You'll know despair. You'll not know any peace. You'll know misery. You'll know torment. You'll not know any joy. Satan has done a tremendous job in minimizing the reality of hell. To Christians, to the world, all hell is a cuss word. All it is as a something that crazy Christians believe in. But hell is real tonight. And sometimes I think that Christians forget what hell really is. We know that hell is eternal separation from God and everything of God. We know hell is eternal darkness. Turn to chapters Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In hell is darkness. There's no light. Forever and ever. Nothing. You can't see anybody. You can't see anything. There's nothing to distract you from the torments that you're in of the flame, of the fire and the brimstone. Is hell real to you tonight? Hell is eternal separation from God and everything of God. Hell is eternal darkness. Hell is a place of no rest. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 in verse 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." It says, shall be tormented day and night. You say, well, that's the devil and his angels. Look over same chapter 20, verse 15. And it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In the lake of fire, there is no rest. There is no relief from the torments. And it's forever and ever. Which leads me to the next point. Hell is eternal. Hell, our human minds can't even comprehend eternity. You can try to wrap your mind around eternity. We know eternity is forever, but we can't even comprehend what eternity is. A place with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. A place away from God where you don't know what love is. You don't know any peace.
Yeah.
A place where you're with the everything satanic and all the demons and these angels in a place. But yet we're okay with letting people go there. Why? Because we don't believe it's real.
Yeah, there you go.
We don't believe the reality of hell. If we believe the reality of hell, I think we'd live our lives just a little bit differently.
Yes,
I think we would do a little bit more for the cause of Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't want you to think about anyone else tonight. I want you to think about you. This church has many different ministries to reach the lost. I could go through and name them all. I know I can't think of them all right now, though, but the bus ministry, the jail ministry, Hattie Larlum's, we have a lot of ministries. But I don't want you to think about the ministries of the church. I want you to think about the ministry of you. We have a job to do, and we are failing at this job. Is hell real to you? Jimmy talked about the rich man, Lazarus. Do you realize he is still in hell today?
Yes, sir, yes.
He is still burning today. Way back then, still today, he's crying out in torment. There's this guy's name was Bill Weiss. He wrote a book. I didn't read the book. I wouldn't even care to read the book. The name of the book was 23 Minutes in Hell. And the book is about him dying. Supposedly he was on an operating table or something and he died, and he said he was dead for 23 minutes and he spent that 23 minutes in hell. That guy doesn't know anything of hell. Why? If he had been to hell, he wouldn't take time to write a book. I believe he would be knocking at his neighbor's doors, telling about Christ. I believe he'd be calling his family, begging them to get saved. I don't believe he would be wasting his time. I believe he would be doing everything for the cause of Christ that he possibly could. And I think about my life as I was studying for this message. I tried to make this personal to me. How many people do I see every day, as Jimmy was saying? How many people do I work with that I don't tell about Christ? That I don't tell them how they can escape hell? Then I got to thinking, why? What keeps me from telling them about hell and about Christ? Because I don't care enough. I haven't made hell real enough in my heart. I read that verse to start out with. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I don't say it with my lips, but this is what I tell God with my actions. Lord, I believe hell is real. Lord, your Bible says hell is real, and I believe that we can't even comprehend the torments of hell. Lord, I believe it, but I don't believe it enough to tell my family members. Lord, I believe it enough, and I'll tell my family members, but I'll tell them when it's convenient. If we would get the reality of hell down in our hearts, I believe we would not wait for a convenient time to tell our family. I have family that's lost, on their way to a devil's hell. What have I done? Yeah, I've prayed for him. I've even talked to him a couple times. But a couple times isn't enough. If I really had a burden for them, if I really cared the way I ought to care, a couple times wouldn't be enough. Why are we okay with people going to hell? You say, well, I'm not okay with it. What are you doing to stop it? What am I doing to stop it? How many tracts have you passed out this week? How many people have you told about hell this week? I know I've failed tremendously. And we're not going to, when you look at at Lazarus, what did he say? He said, send him so that he can, I have five brothers waiting on earth still. Tell them so they don't come to this place with torment. He had a burden for lost souls. Why? Because hell was real to him. Before he went to hell, he didn't care. He didn't believe in hell. He didn't care about his brothers. Why don't we care? Because hell is not real to us. We know it's real. But we've minimized the reality of hell so much that we don't have a burden for souls anymore. And I know hell is something we don't like to think about. I don't like thinking about hell. I don't like thinking about my family or some of my friends being in hell. As they sang, how many people are going to search the crowd and find my face? My face. And cry, Colton, why didn't you tell me? Why? Because I didn't care. We know the day is coming. The Bible says it's coming. And we've all heard this illustration. If somehow you knew that one of your loved ones or one of your friends' house was going to catch on fire tonight, they were going to be killed by the fire, what would you do to stop them from going into that house? I believe you would do everything in your power to keep them from going in that house that you knew was going to burn down. Yeah. I believe you wouldn't stop getting them to not go in the house. You wouldn't rest until you knew that they were safe and not going to go in that house and be burned. Why? Why would you keep them from going to that house? Because it would be real to you. We're never going to experience hell ourselves if you're saved. I'm never going to experience the reality of hell. But if, just as if you knew that house was going to burn down, and that loved one or that friend was going to be in that house, we know the day is coming where if they don't get saved, they will burn forever and ever. But yet, we don't do anything to stop it. You say, well, Colton, maybe I have tried witnessing to them before, and they just wouldn't listen. Or I've invited them to church, and they wouldn't come. Or I've been praying for them. Let me tell you, let me encourage you, keep praying.
Yep.
Don't stop praying. Keep witnessing to them.
Yep.
Don't stop witnessing to them.
Amen.
It's not your job to get them saved. It's your job to tell them.
Yeah.
You say, I've heard, well, I would tell them, but they wouldn't get saved anyway. Now you're minimizing God's power, because it's God's power and God's grace that saves them, not you. Don't fall into that lie of Satan that they won't be saved. How do you know? And as we stand at the judgment, and I wonder how many of us are going to wish to ourselves, I wish I would have told him just one more time. I wish I would have prayed for him just a little bit harder. I wish I would have taken it a little bit more serious. We know we've got a job. I know I've got a job. But I'm failing at that job. How many souls could have gotten saved had I took my job seriously? How many souls could have escaped hell had I been obedient to the Spirit and God's command to tell people? Hell has got to become real to us. Why? Because the reality of hell has been minimized. And you never hear it preached anymore. Preacher, I don't hear hell preach that much. And I know it's not a fun subject. It's a nasty subject. It's one, as I said, we don't want to think about.
Yeah.
But it's something we must think about.
Yeah.
If we want to carry out our purpose and our God's command, we've got to get serious about hell. It's got to become real to us. God has put a burden on my heart. I don't know why we have a hard time telling people about God, but there's people I work with that have never heard. And I love these people to death. I like them. They're lost, and they're not friends or anything, but nice people, good people. If they died tonight, they would split hell wide open. I just can't fathom it. We get so caught up in this world. We get so caught up with now, we forget about eternity. We forget about the judgment seat. If let me tell you, I don't want to get off the subject of hell here, but how different would we live our lives if the judgment seat, if the way we lived our lives were to be real to us?
Yeah.
If we stand before the Almighty God, I doubt we'll even be able to look Him in the eye, but we'll stand there and God says, all right, Colton, what did you do with your life? And I'll stand there. In all the wasted moments of my life, all the things that I could have done, but I wasn't obedient to the Spirit. How many kids would you have let walked by in that restaurant, 15 and 17-year-old, and says, well, they're just kids, or I can't witness to them. or I'm in a hurry. I can't take the time, or they wouldn't listen to me anyway. I think it's about time that we take it serious. I think it's about time that I take it serious. Yeah. It's about time that I start doing my part. In the summer, we do visitation Saturdays and Thursdays. Let me tell you, if hell was real, to me, 2 days a week wouldn't be good enough. I've heard it said, you know, witness to one person a week or whatever. And that's good. It's good to have a goal and a, you know, something to work towards. But I believe if it was real, we wouldn't rely on other Christians to tell them. I believe we would be out knocking on doors. I believe we would be out on our own time, not the church's time, but our own time. Yeah. I believe we'd be calling up friends, calling up loved ones and family, begging them. But until hell is real in our lives, we're not going to have the burden we need to have. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Is hell real to you? I know it hasn't been that real to me in the past. But I'm begging God to give me a burden that I need to have, to see people as eternal souls, even the people that I don't particularly care for. You know what? They still need Christ. Yeah, right. The Devilcrats need Christ.
That's right.
They need Christ just like you needed Christ. You're no better than them. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have split hell wide open.
That's right. That's
We're so selfish as a Christian people. We have the key to set men free, but we choose to hide it. We choose to keep it in our hearts. We choose to not share it. One day, oh, how we'll regret it. How we'll wish we had done just a little bit more. Is it real to you? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I know that message was for me, Lord. I don't know, Lord, if anybody else got anything from it, Lord, but I thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll make my job real to me, Lord. Not anybody else's job, Lord, but my job. I have a job. Lord, I pray that you'd make it real to me. Lord, I pray that you'd help me do a better job in the future, Lord, about telling souls, telling people, Lord, about you. God, I failed miserably at it, Lord, but it's only by your grace that I'm saved, Lord. And it's only by you that they can get saved. And if somebody doesn't tell them, Lord, they'll never know. Lord, I pray now that you'll just be with the invitation, Lord. Please speak to hearts, Lord. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.